T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Peter Madonia is now running his family business, 100-year-old family business, Madonia Family, a bakery on Arthur Avenue in the Bronx. And he's very active in bringing back and growing business in the whole area. But he left the family business for a while, and he was former Mayor Bloomberg's chief of staff. And he was also the chief operating officer of the Rockefeller Foundation. So I thought I'd like to ask Peter, what have you learned? You've managed the city, you've managed the Rockefeller Foundation, you've managed the family business. What have you learned about management, Peter?
I guess first and foremost, it's all about people, right? You can't do anything without good, talented people. And I just want to set the record straight. I have no formal training in management. I majored in anthropology in college. So I just had really good mentors, and that's a big part of, I think, being a good manager.
Right.
I worked for two great mayors, Ed Koch and Mike Bloomberg, and I had really good mentors who taught me some basic principles that I carried all the time. First thing is, know what you don't know.
Right.
Right. You have to know what you don't know, and then go find people who know more than you. Don't be afraid to hire people who are smarter than you, who are talented. Support them, give them the running room, run interference for them when you need to. But you know, find great people.
Run interference. That's a great phrase. Because I was going to ask you, how do you manage people without driving them nuts and smothering them? And you just hit on it. You run interference for them.
Yeah.
That's a great way to look at it.
It's particularly important in City Hall.
Yeah.
Where you're either running interference between your commissioners and the agencies and the press, or between them and the mayor sometimes, between them and other elected officials. So it's a skill set you have to develop if you're going to run something big and have good people and keep them.
Right.
And then there are a couple of sort of qualities that I always look for. And because you can teach anybody just about anything, right? If you find good, smart people. For me, it was about loyalty, and I don't mean blind faith. I mean, in particular, and I used to say this, my expectation is much greater that you are going to tell me when I'm wearing no clothes, when I'm doing something wrong, when it's not right, when I haven't gotten it right, than when you're agreeing. And the second is, you've got to have a sense of humor and a little bit of gallows humor. Because when the going gets tough, you better be able to laugh both at yourself and in the scenario, or you won't get through it. You'll start, you know, killing each other. And when you're in the trenches, you want somebody next to you who's both loyal and can laugh a little bit when things get tough. And to me, it was never more complicated than that. And I say that with all due respect to the professors and people who teach management in business school. But for me, it was on-the-job training.
You just gave us a glimpse, I think, into what it's like in City Hall at the mayor's level. You're running interference all the time between the commissioners and the mayor. That's fascinating. And you have applied these management skills to amazing growth along Arthur Avenue in the neighborhood in the Bronx, right? You run the BID, the Business Improvement District.
Yeah.
Tell us how you've grown there.
It's funny, I'm listening to the other two panelists, and we're sort of on the flip side of, we have to evolve, but we've sort of doubled down on being an authentic Italian food and culture and history community. You know, my business is 100 years old. There are 6 or 7 that are 100. The younger ones are 75 to 80, still the same families. And you know, that's what we've sort of articulated as our brand. And we really are careful about managing it that way. Having said that, what that neighborhood used to be when I grew up there, 99 9/10% Italian first and second generation immigrants. It has evolved to something very different in terms of the residents. We've managed to survive for 100 years through good times and some really bad ones, including the blackout of 1977, right, where much of the Bronx burnt to the ground around us. Part of it was we had a very strong and cohesive community at that time. It is now still in the poorest congressional district in America, but it is flourishing as a business community because there are family businesses there. It is a community. We feed off each other. We have an ecosystem among ourselves. There are three bakeries. There are four pastry shops. There are four salamerias. There are three butchers, pork stores. Competition is a healthy thing in that regard. It keeps everybody on their toes. But we also have this bigger ecosystem around us. We are nestled between the Bronx Zoo, the Botanical Garden, Fordham University, St. Barnabas Hospital, Yankee Stadium's not far away. And so our clientele has evolved dramatically. When I was a kid, everybody in that neighborhood shopped in the neighborhood. They came out every day, bought what they needed, went home, cooked, ate, came back the next day. That's no longer the case. Our clientele comes from between, when we've done the marketing to understand this, comes from 10 to 40 miles away, has an average income of $150,000 a year. They come to our dozen restaurants and they come and shop. They're foodies, but they're also families that are coming to the zoo, people going to the train show at the Botanical Garden, parents of the kids at Fordham University where there are 10,000 students. So we've had to evolve.
So much around you to draw on.
Yes, there is. And it's constantly, it evolves. And this word evolution, I think, is going to come up a lot around business.
How do you reach those people going to the zoo? Do you advertise them? How do you tap on that?
We are crawling our way into the 21st century. Again, we're trying to find the right balance between being very modern and maintaining our authenticity and our history and finding the balance point between those. But we have a couple of 100,000 followers. We are, through the bid now, have hired Nicholas Lentz, which is a terrific public relations firm. They understand who we are, what we care about, what's important to us, what our narrative is, and they help us put our brand out there. We're also in a transportation desert, which is probably the most rate-limiting factor we have right now in terms of growth. People have to drive to us. We don't have public transportation there. Oh. The nearest subway is a half-hour walk, either west or east. How you partner with the city becomes a very big issue. Department of Transportation at this moment in time has a one-size-fits-all policy on everybody should have a bike lane. Nobody's coming shopping with a bike. So we have to reconcile these kinds of things. Sometimes you have to go a little bit to war. And that was the whole purpose behind setting up the bid, which I did with some partners in the neighborhood when I was in City Hall.
What a manager for any neighborhood to have for the whole group. What a job you have done there, and I'm sure we'll continue to do.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.